Good morning. As you mentioned, I will be speaking on surveillance that we established for Guillain-Barré syndrome during local Zika virus transmission in Puerto Rico, and including an overview of cases that were identified in 2016. So in December 2015, Puerto Rico Department of Health reported the first locally acquired case of Zika virus disease in the United States with symptom onset on November 23, 2015. Then in January 2016, we had a patient present with a tingling sensation in his limbs, which was preceded immediately by 2 days of rash. This patient was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, and laboratory testing of a patient's specimen provided evidence of a recent Zika virus infection. So I won't dwell on this slide too much again. You've probably seen it a couple times. But to highlight relevant points, Zika virus is a flavivirus, primarily transmitted by Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, which are present throughout Puerto Rico. The majority of Zika virus infections are mild or asymptomatic, but there are potential symptoms, including fever, rash, headache, joint pain, conjunctivitis, and muscle pain. And in addition to recognizing that infection during pregnancy is a cause of microcephaly, as well as other fetal brain abnormalities, during the Zika virus epidemics that have been sweeping many nations in the last few years, we've also seen that many countries that have Zika virus epidemics have a coinciding increase in the incidence of Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré syndrome is an acute autoimmune disorder of the peripheral nervous system. It's often characterized by a progressive bilateral limb weakness that, and as well as diminished deep tendon reflexes. The weakness often starts in the legs and then moves upwards, and severe cases may have paralysis of respiratory muscles as well as impairment of other critical bodily functions such as speech, swallowing, and blood pressure. Zika virus has been associated with various vaccines and infectious agents. It's thought to be an overstimulation of the immune system and cross-reactivity with peripheral nerves, which results in the damage. In addition to vaccines, again, it has been associated with many viruses, including arthropod-borne viruses or arboviruses, such as dengue, chikungunya, and more recently with Zika virus. Studies have shown that approximately 70% of GVS cases report an antecedent illness. GVS is a relatively uncommon disorder with an annual incidence of 1.1 to 1.8 cases per 100,000 population globally. Incidence does vary geographically with a higher incidence in tropical regions. increased incidence generally also occurs in older age groups and in males compared to females. In Puerto Rico, we estimated that the baseline incidence of Guillain-Barré in 2013 was approximately 1.7 cases per 100,000 population, and that translates to approximately 60 cases per year, or an average of 5 cases per month. Based on the experience of other countries with local Zika virus transmission, we anticipated a potential increase in the incidence of Guillain-Barré. Thus, as part of the emergency response to Zika virus transmission in Puerto Rico, we established a enhanced Guillain-Barré syndrome surveillance system in February 2016. This was established by PRDH, Puerto Rico Department of Health, with the assistance of CDC. There are three primary objectives of this surveillance system. First, we wanted to elevate clinical suspicion for GVS during Zika virus transmission on the island towards a more timely patient diagnosis and treatment. Second, we wanted to monitor trends of Guillain-Barré syndrome, including epidemic curve, geographic distribution, and then patient characteristics such as demographics, clinical presentation, and medical outcomes. Finally, we wanted to provide laboratory testing for recent Zika virus infection among all identified cases of GBS in order to better characterize the potential association between preceding Zika virus infection and the development of GBS. To that end, healthcare providers were asked to submit a specific GBS case report form, as well as specimens, which could include serum, urine, cerebral spinal fluid, or CSF, and or saliva. These specimens were all tested for three arboviruses that are currently circulating in Puerto Rico, Zika virus, dengue virus, and chikungunya virus. In addition, we tried to identify any previously unreported cases through an end-year evaluation of the surveillance system, which we conducted this past spring. So laboratory testing for the three arboviruses followed a surveillance system's diagnostic algorithm. All specimens were tested by reverse transcriptase, RT-PCR assay. Additionally, serum and CSF specimens were tested by IgM ELISA. Case definitions for evidence of recent Zika virus infection followed from the laboratory findings. So we define confirmed Zika virus infections as cases with a positive Zika virus RT-PCR result in any specimen, a presumptive Zika virus infection as a case that has negative results by a Zika virus RT-PCR in all specimens, but a positive Zika virus and a negative dengue virus IgM ELISA. And finally, a presumptive flavivirus was defined as, again, a case with negative Zika virus RT-PCR in all specimens and a positive Zika virus and a positive dengue virus IgM ELISA. In order to confirm that the patients that we identified were truly cases of GVS according to a standardized case definition, as well as to gather additional information, patient medical charts were reviewed following hospital discharge more than 28 days after onset of neurologic signs for patients who remained hospitalized long-term or after death. The Brighton collaboration criteria were used to confirm neurologic diagnosis as GVS, and these set criteria are internationally recognized and standardized diagnostic criteria based on clinical presentation, CSF laboratory results, and electrophysiologic findings. In order to also assess how GVS cases were doing in the long term, we administered telephone-based interviews 6 months post-neurologic symptom onset for all cases with a specimen submitted to the surveillance system. During these interviews, disability was assessed using the modified Rankin score, which is a set of validated questions used to assess the long-term disability experienced by GVS patients and focuses on a patient's ability to ambulate, but also captures patient data on deaths that occurred after hospitalization. Additionally, we gathered more disability information regarding to performance of daily activities, including those related to facial disability. So this slide shows the epidemic curve for GBS cases that were identified in 2016. There were a total of 118. And then laboratory evidence allowed us to disaggregate these cases by evidence of recent Zika virus infection or lack thereof. So here's the epidemic curve for GBS cases without any evidence of recent Zika virus infection by month of neurologic symptom onset. And here, adding in the lighter blue line, that denotes the average expected number of GBS cases per month prior to Zika virus transmission, so based on that 2013 estimation. And here, the columns that are gray and white with gray stripes represent cases with unknown Zika virus testing status. The gray represents cases without a received specimens, and these were primarily those identified in the end-year evaluation. And then the white with gray stripes represent cases with pending or Zika virus equivocal results. And then here is the epidemic curve with the 69 cases of GBS with evidence of recent Zika virus infection added in yellow. And as you can see, from May to October, the number of GBS cases consistently surpassed the expected baseline incidence. And here, overlaying the overall epidemic curve for Zika virus infections, so notice that there's now two y-axes with the one on the right representing Zika virus infections, which is a larger scale by far. In total, during 2016, 39,082 Zika virus infections were confirmed in Puerto Rico. And then you can see that this trend in identified GBS cases mirrored the actual Zika virus epidemic in Puerto Rico, which also peaked in August. This table also shows the breakdown of identified GBS cases by evidence of recent Zika virus infection, including a breakdown by Zika virus case definition. So overall, again, 69 cases had any evidence of recent Zika virus infection. 28 of these cases were confirmed, 24 for presumptive Zika virus infections, and 17 were presumptive flavivirus infections. Again, 30 cases had no evidence of recent Zika virus infection, 14 had no specimens received for testing, and 5 have a pending or equivocal Zika virus test result. This map shows GBS cases with evidence of Zika virus infection by public health region of residence. We actually identify GBS cases in all 8 public health regions, and then 7 of those 8 regions have cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection. The largest number, by quite a bit, resided in the metropolitan region, so that's the San Juan metropolitan region, the capital area. This table shows the breakdown of cases by age and sex, and significant findings are highlighted in yellow. You can see here the proportion of females was significantly different for GBS cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection, with over half of the 69 cases being female compared to 27% of the cases without evidence of recent Zika virus infection. And then here you can see all pediatric cases of GBS had no evidence of recent Zika virus infection, but there was no significant difference between the median age between the two groups. This table shows the median time duration between antecedent illness and neurologic symptom onset, as well as the median length of hospitalization. Looking at the time duration between antecedent illness onset and neurologic symptom onset, some early reports from other countries affected by Zika virus suggested that the antecedent infection with Zika might lead to a more rapidly progressing GBS. However, in Puerto Rico, we did not find any evidence of this. There was no significant difference between timing between the two groups. And then in terms of hospitalization, also no significant difference. And this table shows the number of cases with a reported antecedent illness with breakdown by symptoms. Around 80% of cases in both groups reported an antecedent illness within 2 months prior to neurologic symptom onset. A significantly larger proportion of cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection reported rash. And there was also a relatively large proportion of Zika virus-associated cases that reported conjunctivitis or joint pains, which are another common symptoms of Zika virus infection, but these differences were not significant. This table shows the number of cases with specific neurologic symptoms noted in their medical records. there was no significant differences between the two groups except for with regard to symptoms that are related to cranial nerve impairment. So 62% of GBS cases with evidence of the recent Zika virus infection had facial weakness compared to only 30% of those without. 54% of Zika virus-associated cases had dysphagia or difficulty swallowing compared to only 27% of those without. And then finally, 19% of Zika virus-associated cases had facial paresthesia or tingling numbness compared to none without evidence of recent Zika virus infection. This table shows medical interventions and outcomes. So interventions and outcomes were highly similar between the two groups, including proportion of cases that were admitted to the ICU, those discharged to a skilled nursing facility, as well as those who died in the hospital. There was a relatively high proportion of cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection that required mechanical ventilation, but this was not a significant difference. And here, this looks at relative patient disability 6 months after neurologic symptom onset. So far, we have 50 GBS cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection and 22 without evidence of recent Zika virus infection that have been interviewed. And the modified Rankin score here ranges from patients that reported no ongoing symptoms to those on the far left that have died. And while 40% of the cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection reported no significant ongoing symptoms, there was no significant difference in median or mean MRS between these two groups. And finally, this table shows ongoing symptoms of facial disability that were reported at 6 months after neurologic onset. And we did see that a significantly larger proportion of cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection reported ongoing issues with excessive tearing or eye dryness. And you can also see there's relatively these other facial symptoms, speaking, drinking, and chewing food. There was a relatively large proportion of cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection that reported these compared to those without, but these are not yet significant. So in summary, in Puerto Rico, 118 of cases of GBS were identified in 2016, which was higher than expected based on the estimated baseline incidence in 2013. Using our arboviral laboratory-based surveillance, we were able to identify recent Zika virus infection among 58% of the identified cases. Compared to GBS cases without evidence of recent Zika virus infection, those with recent Zika virus infection were more likely to be female, which was unexpected globally just from GBS data alone, as more men than women tend to develop GBS. Cases with evidence of recent Zika virus infection were also more likely to experience facial weakness, dysphagia, and facial paresthesia. Again, this suggests potentially that certain neurologic symptoms, such as those related to cranial nerve impairment, may be more characteristic of patients that have antecedent infection with Zika virus. Finally, cases were also more likely to report excessive tearing or eye dryness at 6 months, suggesting that facial symptoms may persist in the long term. Overall, the clinical outcomes and long-term disability levels were similar among GBS cases with and without evidence of recent Zika virus infection. Based on our findings, we would make a couple recommendations. So first, based on the observed increase of GBS above expected baseline levels in Puerto Rico, as well as in other countries with local Zika virus transmission, healthcare providers and authorities should monitor and prepare for potential increases in GBS during Zika virus transmission.
Furthermore, individuals with symptoms of GBS should seek care regardless of antecedent illness. And finally, our findings have indicated a need for continued additional studies to improve our understanding of the association between Zika virus infection and development of GBS, as well as further explore some of these findings. A big thank you to all who contributed to this project, and I think I have a couple minutes for questions.
We do have time for a couple questions. Please go to the microphone.
Hi, good morning. Good presentation, thank you. Just wondering, for those that did not have Zika virus infection at Guillain-Barre, did they have any illnesses that preceded the Guillain-Barre, and if so, what were they?
Yes, they did. So we did go back and review the medical records. So if they had reported symptoms or the doctor had asked those relevant questions, we did have those reported. So a lot of them were viral syndrome or diarrhea-like illnesses or upper respiratory illnesses. Rarely were we able to identify a specific agent. They did sometimes have infectious disease testing performed, but often that was not in the actual record. So we were unable to actually have the positive results of this, or this was attributed to this. And it could also be there was some time delay between when they got those results back. And so in hospital, they never actually identified a pathogen that they thought caused that illness.
Thank you. That was a great presentation. I have two questions. One of them is a follow-up to that. Did you guys provide any recommendations to the hospitals about, you know, the other types of infections? Testing they should do to rule out other causes of GBS?
So we did do a lot of outreach. Because this was a novel surveillance system, which we did piggyback kind of off of the existing dengue surveillance system for as far as courier and data and laboratory stuff, it was novel. This was not a reportable condition and didn't become so until October of 2016. So and initially we did do a lot of presentations to providers trying to educate them on exactly like what types of disease. I mean, the point was, please report for Zika virus testing, but certainly, you know, we gave an overview such as these other agents can be causal for Zika virus infection potentially, and you know, please diagnose and report to us. There was a few clinical webinars given that focused more directly on that, but that wasn't something we went to each provider and said, you should test for all of these in addition to sending us a specimen for Zika virus.
And then my second question is, for your confirmed cases, were you seeing, you know, that a lot of them were urine PCR positive or serum PCR, or what was the sample types most commonly being positive?
Yes, I actually, the majority were serum PCR positive. We had, I wrote this down, 6 urine PCR positive, and 2 of those were in, they were just urine PCR positive. But the majority were a serum. We had 1 CSF PCR positive case.
Thanks,
that was great. Alan Crave from NCIRD at CDC. 2 quick questions. One is, what percentage of patients actually had electrophysiologic testing? I wondered how available that was. And the second question was, did I see the slide right that all of your pediatric GBS cases, in those cases, there were no Zika infections? I wonder if you had a thought about that. Thanks.
So we did see overall, I think, in Zika virus disease reported that there wasn't it's hard to say, that GBS risk does increase with age, and maybe especially those with Zika virus infections. We saw very few pediatric confirmed GBS cases, I believe 2 or 3 in total. So really it was a low number. I don't know that there was anything special contributing to that. Let me think of what the other question. Oh, yes. Thank you. A small percentage overall. It's not widely done on the island. Really, it was the large reference hospital, mainly the university hospital, that did that testing. So a small percentage of patients, probably less than 10%, but all of those that were Zika positive were AIDP, so acute inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. Yeah.